Oh, Lord, what times? What times we're in, Lord. I thank you for these times that you've gotten us into, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all the supernatural, miraculous miracles that are transpiring even as we speak, and we praise you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that in the days ahead, we're going to see things that we never even dreamed about. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit leading us tonight into the glorious revelations of your word, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to bring people into the kingdom and pray for them for baptism in the Holy Spirit, and pray for them for healing, pray for them for deliverance, and pray for them for whatever it is in order to show that the kingdom of heaven has come down to here. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time of revelation of your word, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for your gifts that are going to be poured out upon your people. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it's just going to be an awesome, awesome time with you. And I praise you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us the opportunity to be with these wonderful brothers and sisters across the globe, Lord. And thank you so much for it. Amen and amen. Okay. What else? Anybody got a prayer request? Oh, we got some news, but I ain't going to tell it. Not what you're thinking. Go ahead, Andrew or Benjamin.
Well, on Tuesday, I said something that troubled me afterwards. I said that I use the F word there, the feelings. You know, sometimes I feel that I have faith about this much, you know, or not faith, but love about that much, and just how much love does the Lord have for us to give to us? You know, it's quite a bit, and you know, when you hear that word "feel" come out of my mouth, I don't mean it, because you're not supposed to have that feeling. You're supposed to have the love, and it's with you, and it's part of your lifestyle. It's part of your future. I want to apologize for that, because it did trouble me many times, so much so that I read every chapter 23 from Proverbs all the way to, and I saw to the book of Acts, because that's the only places you have 23, and I saw a lot about the bad guys that are trying to destroy the church in every 23rd chapter. Of course, the 23rd chapter in Psalms was a good one. So it's from Proverbs all the way to the book of Acts. And you get a pretty good, especially Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah. Those 23s are talking about our time, what's going on now. So, and of course, don't forget that's the letter, in case anyone's listening. That has to be converted to the Spirit. So. You know, and so I'm confessing an apology. If anyone was mistaken, we don't have faith that's just that much. You know, I feel that I have love that's about that much. You know, you got a lot more love. You got enough love as much as Jesus or any of the apostles had. You know, so. It's a big fish. You know, it's not a little fish. It's way bigger than you can stretch your arms in. And that's how much love he has for you. And I don't want to sway any person aside of how much love you're supposed to have. And don't use that feeling word or the fear word. Those are the two bad F words for us. And we have faith and we have love. Faith that worketh love. It's right above my door as you leave. You know? When my printer used to work, I put faith that worketh love You know, the righteous shall live from faith. It's right up there. Big letters. Each word is in a different color too. So you leave my apartment, you're going to see that when you leave, and you better believe it, because it's the truth. Praise God. I got these notes. You can go to the bathroom here, you'll see a note in there. And it's in the right angle too, so you can see it. You'll see we are partakers of Christ if we hold fast to the end of our confidence, firm unto the end. Praise God, glory to God. And every room, you know, I do have a TV, but it doesn't work. There's no cable attached to it. And I got just a few Christian movies here, but I don't watch TV. I've been watching some crazy news, and that's perhaps why I went on the, and it's crazy. You know, every once in a while, I watch some of the news and I go, what? You know, can't be like that. That's not good news. You know, anyway, I try to stay away from the news. I try to stay, you know, I don't know, maybe I can watch someone fixing a car or something on YouTube or something on my spirit. I did watch the Earth movie, you know, it's got no bad words in it, except one bad word with a lynx, you know, called it a spirit there anyway. But it doesn't talk about evolution in it. BBC and Walt Disney put it out. It's got two bears in it, and two whales and some elephants. Really well done. And I watched it because I wanted to see God's creation, because we don't even have leaves on our trees yet here. We've got winter here, you know, like I'm a snowman because I'm in Canada and it's cold. So I'm as white as snow and I ain't melting either because Canada's cold. Anyway, love you guys.
Amen. We love you too, Andrew. But don't you never do that again. Praise God. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Father. All right. Well, lovely. Praise God. All right. Anyone else got a prayer or a testimony? Yeah, David or Alina? Boy, that was.
I have a. I think it was 32 weeks. What?
Oh, you're fine. Go ahead. You're doing good now.
Oh, sorry. Is my service bad?
Go ahead. Hurry, quick. You've got a good spot now.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I'll try to go to a different room that has better one.
That's good.
Okay. With my midwife, I was told that baby was in a breech position, and then we had an ultrasound and confirmed that she was breech. And it was quite a bit of a trial for me. just the enemy trying to put all these fears in my mind about a breech birth and how painful it might be and what would happen if baby got stuck, or just, you know, just like all these fears that the enemy would try to put in my mind. And my midwife told me to do these exercises that would encourage baby to flip, because they tried to turn her and she wouldn't budge. And so they didn't force it. And so they wanted me to do this to encourage her to flip. And I was doing the exercises for about a week, but all I could think, like, that whole time, like, was just like, she's breech, she's breech, she's breech. And it was like, I just couldn't get that thought out of my mind. Like, all I'm thinking is, what position is she in? Is she moving? Is she, you know, and my mind is so just focused on that. And, so finally on Friday, after that appointment, I asked, some of the sisters here on the Friday prayer meeting to, you know, just pray for me and agree with me that she's going to turn. And they were so encouraging, praise the Lord. And it gave me the faith and encouragement to just, you know, to just put those exercises aside and just be like, okay, Lord, like I give this to you. Like I know you're not going to fail me. And so I stopped doing the exercises. I stopped thinking about it. Like I was just, anytime the enemy would try to come back in, I was like, nope, like I'm trusting the Lord. And Monday I also, this past Monday, I asked the body to agree with me that at my appointment today, she would be flipped. And praise the Lord, when my midwife felt her position, she was head down. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. She's going to stay head down and she's going to be in perfect, optimal birthing position when it's time.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, she will. All right. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. We can believe for you for anything. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I know there's another testimony out there somewhere. Ah, you better show up. All right. Y'all go ahead.
Hi, everybody. So, praise the Lord, Lena. That was really encouraging to hear about casting down fear and stopping the exercise and just trusting the Lord. We're believing for the same thing, just believing that the Lord's going to take care of our baby. We had our appointment on this week on like Monday and Tuesday, and they did some imaging and stuff. And if you guys would just agree with us, so. With the MRI, they're not seeing like a left lung lobe, at this time, but it's there, praise the Lord. So we're believing, I mean, the Lord, he made people see, he made crippled hands, you know, extend, he let people who were lame walk. I mean, the Lord can easily make a lung lobe. And so, but in the moment, you know, it was just kind of challenging to hear all of that. We were kind of just, you know, what they had told us earlier was that there was just a hole in the diaphragm or whatever, which we don't claim. And the appointment actually said that it was worse than what they originally thought, but we don't claim that either. And so Jared and I were talking about it, like, that just means more glory to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of just want to share, a couple things about, or just like what the Lord's been doing in our lives. And then also what happened last night, which was really awesome. So like Jared and I, like before all this, I feel like we were really caught up with distractions in the world, like, I don't know, TV, computer games, like social media, YouTube, like spending our time selfishly, basically, and, you know, reading our Bibles here and there, but not like being fully 100% like committed to the Lord. And then when all this happened, we found out about baby with everything going on, like we just praise the Lord that his mercy allowed us to know the truth that the Lord's will is healing and that it's in his word. And we can believe for that. And so we've repented of so many things and like, praise the Lord. Like we don't even care about so many of any of the distractions that we used to. Like, it's just completely, it was like a switch, just like completely dead and gone, like dead to the flesh, like only wanting to spend our time reading our Bibles and stuff. And so last night, it was just nice because we were sitting at, you know, at home, and we were just like reading our Bibles and talking to each other and building each other up and stuff. Cause that morning I kind of had like a little bit of a, like some fear come over me. And, so we were just talking about, the Lord and stuff. And Jared kind of just looked at me and he was like, you know, like, this is, you know, really nice. And we just started talking about like, I don't know. We kind of just randomly just started talking about like, baptism and tongues and stuff like that and the Holy Spirit and things. And I don't know if you want to share a little bit. Like,
well, you were so excited. I was going to let you have all the words.
Oh, well, here, I'm passing it off to you.
Yeah. We were just having a good time together, just reading and talking and discussing. And it's something I had brought up, you know, at the start of all this was like, the Lord really 180'd our hearts. And I'd kind of thrown it out there half serious of like wanting to be baptized. I grew up in a Baptist church, and I got baptized at the age of 6. I chose it myself, but definitely didn't live my life that way up until this point. And so I threw it out there at the start of this, and we kind of were wishy-washy, and I was wishy-washy. And then as, you know, over the weeks and month or whatever it's been since we got this news, and, you know, kind of the Lord gave us this trial of our faith, and it's tough, but it definitely had a purpose, because it, you know, like I said, it completely 180'd our lives, that we wouldn't be living them for ourselves, but, you know, that we would be striving after the Lord. And so we were just sitting there, and Marissa said, "Have you thought any more about being baptized?" And I said, "Yeah, I want to do it. I really want to do it. And we're going to Florida next week. We're having a baby shower with her family." And she said, "Awesome. Well, maybe we can do it in the ocean next week." And I said, "What about right now?" And it was 10 o'clock at night, and it was probably about 40 degrees outside, and we've got a little pond in the front. And she said, "Okay, I'll call Michael." And
Julie.
And Julie came on too. And so, yeah, we all just started.
Well, and two, we were talking about like, two, like being baptized in the Holy Spirit, because like Jared was, you know, just like with the church growing up and that, like, it's like tongues are weird. Like, you just, it's not really like a thing. And so he was like, "Well, let's like look it up and, you know, look it up in the Bible glossary and like, let's find the scriptures about it." And, we looked up like Acts 2 and we read about like Pentecost, and then we looked up Corinthians. It's like 14 or 15. And it was talking about like about how we should be praying for tongues and like prophecy too, but also not just tongues, but also like the interpretation of tongues in order to like edify the brethren and stuff. And it was so crazy because we've probably read that before, but like, it was almost just like the Lord just like gave us understanding like that. And it was like, I finished the chapter and I just looked at him and I was like, "I feel like I understood all that." And he was like, "Me too." And we were just like, "Wow." And then we were like, "Okay, well, let's call Michael and like, let's get baptize you in the pond out back, and then like pray for the Holy Spirit in tongues." And so Michael texted back like 5 minutes later, "Praise the Lord." And so we ran out there and Michael, you know, like explained to us a little bit more, you know, of course, like what baptism is, of like, you know, you're dying to the flesh. It's no longer you who lives. You come up as Christ and like the Holy Spirit and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out there and got in the mud and the pond.
Dirty, nasty pond. And Marissa dunked me.
And praise the Lord. And so it's no longer us who live. It's Christ who lives in us.
Yes.
And then,
thank you, Lord, I wasn't close up there. Go ahead.
And I hope it's okay, but after like we came inside and like dried off and stuff, I don't know if you want to share the phrase or anything like that.
No,
that's
okay.
But praise the Lord, the Lord gave Jared a phrase in the spirit. And what does it mean?
Well, we asked for just interpretation too, and so I think what the Lord gave us was this time anew to be like Christ. And so we're
praise the Lord
praising God last night, definitely. So
we're just really thankful, man. Praise the Lord. God. So good.
That's the way to start out. Start believing. That's the way to do it. Lord and God, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, it's hard for me to go back to sleep or go to sleep. I didn't have to sleep.
Us too. We felt the same way. We were just like so joyful. It was just complete joy and peace. And I called Geneva. I had to tell Geneva. I was so excited because we've just been praying about that and stuff. And yeah, it was great sleep last night.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. That's a good testimony. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right. Go ahead, Geneva.
Hey, can you hear me? I'm driving, so it might sound kind of patchy.
Yeah, okay.
So Marissa called me, and this was a testament to my faith, too, because me and Morgan, we just got done praying, and, you know, I had asked the Lord to, I repented of some things yesterday that I said and thought and felt, and I just had to, you know, cast that stuff down, and, you know, I repented, and I asked Morgan to forgive me, and we just talked about, like, the spirit of fear, and just a lot of things came out that I feel like had been kind of suppressed for a while that I just needed to tell my husband and us, you know, believe in an agreement that, you know, the Lord has delivered us of these things. And so we're sitting, we're praying, and then we start talking about Jared and Marissa and about the trial that they're going through. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit come over me, and we were both praying, and I was just crying and thanking the Lord and thanking him for everything that he's going to do and that he has done. And just for this precious baby that they're going to have, that's going to come forth and be so perfect and whole. And like me and Marissa keep saying, he's going to be a great runner, you know, cause we both did a cross country and track in high school, and, you know, he's going to have both his lungs, and he's going to be fast. We believe it in Jesus' name. So we were just talking about that, and Morgan was claiming that and just speaking blessings. And usually by this time I would be asleep, you know, in bed or whatever. And, you know, so I said that prayer and I really felt at peace. And then I go to check my phone, which I left upstairs. I was just going to go downstairs and go to bed. And I saw Marissa text me, and she said, you know, praise the Lord. God just did something amazing, like an amazing testimony and words like that. And I was like, well, call me. So she called me and she told me, and I just felt this joy come over me. And I was like, man, Lord, what an awesome, like, you just answered my prayer. You know, we just got done praying for them, and here this is, like, just, it's just so awesome. And, you know, it gave me faith for kind of what we're going through too. And, you know, the Lord is so good, and he's really just, man, he is growing Marissa and Jared up. He really is. Like, he is just sanctifying us and making the bride clean. And now I told him, like, this is the Lord just making them the godly parents that they need to be. You know, so a lot of people, we were saying, a lot of people, they don't learn this stuff until sometimes later on, you know, down the road after they've already had kids and things have happened and stuff. But praise God, he's getting a hold of them now. And they're really just doing a work, and I know the Lord's going to bless him, and this baby's going to be perfect, and he is perfect, and he's got that lung, it's there. And I just praise you, Jesus, and I just thank you, God, for Marissa and her precious husband, and for my precious husband, and just the love of the saints. And Lord, I just thank you, God, for being with every baby here that is born or about to be born, in Jesus' name. I just thank you for blessing all these mamas, Lord, and every baby's going to come forth perfectly, in Jesus' name. We just love you, Lord, and praise you, and I thank you, Father. Can't wait to hear more.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord of God. Yes. Praise God forevermore. Amen. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request or testimony? Boy, I was last night when Marissa texted me, I'd already been pumped up about some things that's going on here locally. And she said, I hope you're not in bed or something like that. I said, are you kidding? Hey, no way. But boy, I'll tell you what, after that, it was hard for me to go to sleep. I was so, like Geneva said, the joy was just all over the place last night. It was awesome. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And that baby's okay. All right, anyone else? Y'all ready to praise the Lord? Oh, go ahead, Benjamin.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, when I went to go look at the crazy news that's out there, the very next day, you know, and even that night, I don't even want to think about that anymore, but the feeling of that little love that I mistakenly said of it. I got a word of the Lord the next day, and all he said was one word, holiness. And we're promised holiness. So ye shall be holy because I am holy. And also he that calleth you is holy. Be therefore holy in all your behavior. And he's going to do that through us by his grace. You know, the God of all grace, he perfects us and establishes us and strengthens us. He's going to do that for us. And we have all you can be in Christ, that grace of unmerited favor, for as much as all you can be in Christ, the grace. And that's how grace is, all you can be in Christ. And so he said holiness, and we're promised holiness, so we're going to get it. We've got it. We believe that we have it. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. We've already got it by faith. We've already got it. We're sanctified. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody else? Now, this praise song I'm fixing to play is a stand-up song. You have to stand up. Oh, my. And you may want to run out to the pond. I don't know. I'm just saying. Okay. Here we go.
Declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding like the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice in the ear of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of grace. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are white, the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord.
Yeah, that was, I couldn't see the things like I usually could because it was all, it came off of my computer rather than the internet. And I know, that was my excuse and I'm staying with it. All right. I love that song. It's a good song. It's different than we sing it here. And at the end, there's no God like Jehovah, you know. It's what we always sing. But I like this version. Yeah, I do too. All right. Anybody else? Something they'd like to share? Okay. Come out in the name of Jesus. did everybody have get that verse that Julie put up on the outreach? Good. All right. Did anybody have any revelations out of that? You understand what the verses mean, what they're talking about? Really an awesome verse. Anybody want to start out? I'll read it. Let me read it. Romans 10, verses 6 through 10. But the righteousness which is of faith saith thus, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And y'all know what saved means, don't you? You remember David's teaching on saved, that's sozo. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What's he talking about there? Anybody know? Or would you like to tell me? Yeah, Rhea.
Well, when I read this, I read the part just before it, and I was trying to think, you know, what's Paul trying to say here when he was writing it? It was very clever the way it was written, because he's just using all these pieces from the Old Testament. He's almost, I suppose, cheekily adding to it, right? It's so wonderful, because he talks in the beginning there from verse one. He talks about, verse one says, brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them. So he's talking about the Jews, that they may be saved. So his heart is, I want everybody to be saved, right? The sozo. He wants everyone to experience that sozo now, not just one day go to heaven. So he's saying, okay, I'm gonna use all these scriptures that you guys know, that Isaiah said, and it's written in Deuteronomy about Moses, and is going to expound on it. And it's so, it was so lovely because he says, therefore, I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. He's acknowledging, yes, they had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They didn't know. They were ignorant of God's righteousness. So they were ignorant of God's righteousness, meaning they in seeking to establish their own, that they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. So they were seeking their own righteousness and not the righteousness of God. And so then he explains then what is it? You know, Christ came and said, Christ is the end of the law. So he's saying this is now a new dispensation. Christ is the end of the law. So how do we get the righteousness of God? And he said, it's almost like Jesus. And when I read it, I thought it's like Jesus standing in front of the disciples and he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's near to you. And that this is the same that he's saying here for the Jews. Oh, it's so close. You're so close, but you're still seeking your own righteousness. You seek God's righteousness. God's righteousness is in our heart and in our mouth. That's how we get God's righteousness. It's about having faith. That's all it is, to have that righteousness. Is you must have it in your heart. You must confess it. It's not doing or keeping laws or anything of that. That is that verse 8 there, which is, but what do you say? The word is nigh thee. It's in your mouth and in your heart. He's telling them, you actually have it very, very close. You're so close. The word is nigh thee. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. He's saying that is what they're preaching now. This is the new covenant, is that word of faith. And that's what we speak and what we believe, which is what we preach. Because if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and you believe it in your heart, so there's the mouth and the heart, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Because if God raised Jesus from the dead, then everything else is easy, right? Everything else, because that for me is like, that's the most difficult thing. God did it. Everything else is easy. To grow a lung for a baby, easy. No holes in diaphragm. No, those things are easy for him. We don't have to even worry about it. I was thinking when Marissa and you and Jared shared earlier about your baby, and I'm thinking, oh, you guys have got such wonderful faith. That's brilliant. But you know what? You don't even need that much faith. You just need a little bit. As he said, you can move a whole mountain with just a little bit of faith. So it's not, oh, we need more faith. No, you just have to pray, believe, and receive. That's all he said. It's so near in your mouth and in your heart. It's so close. It's just that word of faith and then acting on it and believing it. It sometimes seems like a mountain, but it's not. You don't actually need that much faith. You just need faith. Not about how much you need. It's a gift from God. If you need more, he'll give it to you. And that's, for me, this was such a, yeah, such a nice, wonderful little piece of word that we read here. And I loved as I took it all from Deuteronomy and Isaiah and he just kind of, well, it's the Lord's word, completes it for us. He adds unto it by saying it's Christ, that they were taught to bring it. You can't ascend or you can't descend, but he says, but Christ did all those things. He ascended and he descended. We don't have to do those. All we need is to have him in our hearts and on the tip of our tongues, that faith. We must keep speaking that.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? There's more. More to God. That is awesome, Rian. Thank you so much. He said, when he was talking about who shall ascend into heaven, that is, bring Christ down, you don't have to call down Jesus from heaven. You don't have to call him up from down below. You don't have to wait on an anointing. The anointing is with you. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have all the power that you need, and that's what he's talking about here. He said, for with the heart man believeth on, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You confess the word of God, and when you confess that word of God, you trust God to bring it through. And when It's like Rion was talking about. It's not your faith that does it. It's God's faith. Your faith is just trusting God. You can't trust in your faith because you'll fail every time if you trust in your faith. It's not your faith that you have to trust in. It's trusting in God. I trust God. Well, okay, praise God. You got 99.9% of it right there. That's it. And then next thing is confessing with your mouth. Bless God, that baby's healed. Bless God, that whatever it is, makes no difference. I have my provisions. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free. Glory to God. Jesus is coming. He's already here. He's in us. He's already here. He's in us. All right. Anybody else? I'm going to stop there. There's a little more in there. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, Ben just said, thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on
earth. Yeah. Amen. And who's the representative? You know, he told you. And if you know how to be a little kid, then you know how to receive the kingdom of heaven. Because he tells you, you got to be like a little child. And you have to receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall. And if you don't, you shall in no wise enter therein. So trust your Father and receive that kingdom. Plus, he told you, you know, in John 14:26 that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit in his name. And he's going to teach you all things and remind you of everything he taught you. So, but there's your faith there too, because he's going to remind you. Like, why wouldn't he? You know, is he not your father? Is he going to leave you orphan? You know, like, I don't know. Do I have to throw an ABBA record at you? Anyway, the righteous shall live by faith, you know, and, you know, like, Rion, I went to the Romans 10:4-5, and I for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So you know, if anyone ever read Pilgrim's Progress or even saw the cartoon Pilgrim's Progress, there's the law man, you know, who worldly wise man sent him. You know? So you don't want to go to this worldly wise man. You want the faith. And you want that faith, like it's written in, I think it's chapter 3 of Ephesians, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through his faith, Jesus' faith. Who lives in you anyway? Whose faith is it? And he told you. Like, I don't know, if someone's going to destroy a whole plant, you know, till it dries up to nothing, and he tells you right after that, have God's faith, then is that something not impossible for you to have? I mean, does not the Father come to live in you? Ephesians 4:4, there's 7 ones there, and the last one is one God and Father who is over all, in all, and through all. Is it your word you speak? Oh, they're going to persecute you because they persecuted him. And if they believe his word, they'll believe your word too. But your word is his word anyway. So. That's in the book of John somewhere. And, yeah, so it was really interesting. You have to read the rest of the 10 there to get it all right. Right to 11 and 1 if you want to. And, yeah, so there is 1 Timothy 6:12, you know. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold of eternal life. You should see what it says in John 17:3 about eternal life, man. Oh, it's cool. Oh, it's really neat, man. John 17:3. What's eternal life? To know the true God and whom he sent, Jesus Christ. And he's closer than you can a brother. So where is he, man? He's inside you. That's right. And that's true, man. And it's so cool. How God could be so close to you. And you can say something as dumb as I said the other day on Tuesday. How much love does a person get from God? If he's the God and Father, blessed be the God and Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. How much blessing did Jesus have? You know, is he going to spank you because you don't have quite enough yet? Well, maybe he'll spank it into you. I'll just say the last blessing in the Bible one more time. Blessed they that wash their robes, that theirs shall be the authority. Oh, yes, you got this in Alma, Amy. The authority over the tree of life. What were those leaves used for in the tree of life? Or do I have to show you my Pilgrim Progress cartoon? And you will have authority over the tree of life. Now, this is a blessing like all those blessings that I just read in that Ephesians verse. And ye may enter by the gate into the city. Like, what city is that? Well, there was one in the Pilgrim's Progress, too. And it was the Celestial City. So, praise God, you've got these keys that bind and loose. Keys, they're like tools. They open and close, you know, the hammer. You can hammer stuff in and you can pull it. Someone had all those anointed tools in the valley he picked up. And there were tools with oil all over them. And he went up the other mountain. And that was a wonderful dream. He had a Pilgrim's Progress there. And he was showing us a Pilgrim's Progress that we're all supposed to have. These are what these dreams are all about. So praise and glory to God. There's a Shepherd of Hermas had quite a few dreams. And so did John Bunyan. And so does this new dreamer book here. I have another dream about a Pilgrim's Progress for our time. My son bought me this book, Escape from Christendom. It's a real thin one, so it's perfect for me. Anyways, that's a Pilgrim's Progress right there. It's mentioned in one of the videos on YouTube. I know that David Eales read it, so you know, he's a good guy too, you know. So. Praise God, you know, he's a brother, a big brother, so is Jesus, but Jesus lives within us now, and praise and glory to God, and thank you, Jesus. Save us, Lord, from this crooked and perverse generation.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. That's cool. That's good. Anybody else? Wonder why I didn't mention Jesus. He said Christ, but he didn't mention Jesus as the Christ. Anybody got any revelation there? You reckon he wanted to bring out that he was the anointed one rather than just Jesus? He was the anointed one. All right. Anybody got anything else? It's faith in a nutshell, actually. Just believing and trusting the Lord to answer your prayers. And when you do that, you'll see miracles. You'll see all kinds of miracles. And don't put God in a box. He can do anything. He is very versatile. He can fix cars. He can fix pumps. He can fix water line. He can fix me. If he can fix me, he can fix anybody, glory to God. Yeah, Patrick, go ahead, brother. Yeah, computers.
Bingo. This scripture is always, I don't know if it's, it didn't really confuse me. I just couldn't understand what he was talking about here. I'm not sure that I do now, quite frankly, but, the thing that the Lord gave me today was, and I like, Rian, I kind of went through and started at the beginning and read the whole thing. But I think the thing that hit me was, for Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness to everyone that believes. Pardon me. I've got on my job, I got a crew that's there at night, pulling the electric off of a building. So, they're working a night shift, and so I just got a text in there. But anyway, so Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. And verse 5 says, for Moses writeth that the man that doeth the righteousness which is of the law shall live thereby. In other words, you're going to live in it. If that's the righteousness you are going to work, you're going to live in it. And that live, I don't think is used in the way of life, probably more in the way of death. But then in verse 6, where he says, but the righteousness of faith, which saith, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Now that part always kind of not quite sure how that fits or how it applies. And as I was thinking about it, in verse, you know, he's talking about the ignorance of the Jews, which were seeking God with fervor, but they were trying to achieve it themselves, trying to do whatever they needed to do in complying with God's word, at least the word that they saw, in order to be righteous. And that verse 6 that says, who shall ascend into heaven? It kind of hit me like that process of seeking God. I have to continue on. I have to read more. I have to pray more. I have to confess more. I have to do all these things. My heart compels me to do these things so that I can find God. In other words, I have to find a way to get up to heaven and bring Christ down for me mentally or whatever. I have to accomplish and continue to do these things in order to mentally attain to a certain worthiness. Sorry, got all these things buzzing about all these distractions in my office here. But it's a sort of thing that there's a feeling that I have to achieve or seek or accomplish a certain worthiness or a certain hit a certain mark in order to be acceptable, and in so doing bring that Christ out of the heavenlies into here and answer that prayer or do that certain thing. And then in verse 7, he said, who shall descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. And that kind of spoke to me as doing that penance or self-sacrificing or type of, flogging myself spiritually or humbling myself and doing these things to humble myself and to bring Christ up, because of my humility or my self-abasement or whatever it would be. And so there's this thing that is functioning in there that says I have to comply and do these things in order to be righteous, in order to be accepted by God, in order to enjoy the benefits of God. And that is an old covenant perspective. And but then he says, but what saith the word? The word is nigh thee. It's in my mouth, in thy mouth, and in thy heart. In other words, it's already done. It's that word that's there that you believe and act upon and speak upon and confess. And it takes all of the work. It takes all of the personal exertion or whatever you might say in order to be righteous, because there's nothing that I can do except just believe and confess the word and confess the Lord. And in so doing that very thing, it accomplishes the very thing that the first part of this conversation felt the need to achieve. And that is that humbling comes automatically with confessing God's word. Humbling myself to that word, believing that word, is humbling in and of itself, because there's nothing else that I have the ability. There's no opportunity for me to get in there and do something myself, so to speak. So I didn't really, I didn't really have time to really pursue it and think it through. And quite frankly, I think that it's nice to go through these things, and Michael always pops up with these things that I hadn't taken the time before to think about. It's very helpful, because then you have to start mulling them through and asking the Lord, well, what does this mean? What are you trying to say here? But that was kind of what I got out of it. Hope I get more.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I didn't give you a whole lot more time, Pat. Now, you can talk about it, but you have to forgive me. You have to love me, brother. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. Thank you, Pat. That was good.
You know, after I did my little love thing there, and then you came up with this Bible study, and then you disappeared that night. You went off the air, and that's the exact second I realized what I said that night. And I went, oh, man, he went off the air because of what I said.
Faction.
There must be something in this study for me. And I read a lot. You know, all those 23s, man. Oh, that's what's getting me. Praise God. So that's all. I just wanted to say that was the first one. And I went, what just happened here? Oh, man, what did I just say? You know, we have lots of love from God. You know, I even quoted the verse. You know, if any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So there's your abode, you know, he's living inside of you. Him and the Father comes along. God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, of all things seen and unseen. And he's creating you now, a new man in you. Praise God. Thank you, God.
Amen.
But he's going to get you if you ever say you don't have lots of love. Okay? he's convicted.
You know, that was the funniest thing that happened to my computer. I've never had that happen before. The computer just went blank right in front of me. I said, what is this? I couldn't hear y'all. Y'all could, I don't know if you could hear me or not, but I was saying, can y'all hear me? You know, no. I don't understand what happened. And so it just finally, all of a sudden, it just shut down. It just shut down. So what I did, I went ahead and ran some software on it to clean it up and see if that might, it's not going to happen. Not now, another time, as the old boy would say. Not now, another time is this computer going to shut down on me without me pushing the button myself in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's a good computer, Lord of God. And it's a big one too. I can see everybody in here. Go ahead, Rian.
Listening to Pat, maybe what I'm saying is probably just saying what you said, Pat, maybe just in different words. But we were talking about that earlier, is that, and I know we shouldn't, you know, try and put everything in context back to those days, but I think it's applicable maybe in this sentence or in this case we're studying it, because I think for the Jews, this was a big deal. If you think about it, they were serving God the best that they can. And obviously they were apostate by that stage. But I think let's think of maybe the ones that weren't, not the religious leaders, but they knew that there was Messiah coming. But then when Jesus came on the scene, and then Paul says things like this, where he says, this man, because it was a man for them, but they didn't know it was God, right? And then this man comes on the scene, and now he ended their law. He's saying all those 613 laws have now been, it's finished. That's huge in just in that sense for them, because that was their life. That was their culture. That was how they served God. That is how they got their righteousness, is living that way. And they knew they couldn't do it. They were failing miserably in it. That's, we know that. But now they're saying, but because Jesus came, he ended the law. But not only that, he is God's righteousness. This man that they saw walk there, but did all these amazing things. He is God's righteousness, not the law anymore. He, like, okay, that's even a stranger concept for them. And then he goes one step further and he says, but the way to get God's righteousness is Jesus. So you have to have him in you. You have to have his spirit in you. It's completely different to what they were used to. They were used to you know, 7 days of this and cleaning that and, you know, walking this much and all that kind of stuff. This is completely, so for going from having a God that they serve to now having God and Jesus. When we come to the Lord now in the modern times, we get God and Jesus in one, right? We get both those concepts at the same time. For them, it's completely different. It's like, what? This is now, I must have his son in me. I thought Israel was his son. Now Jesus is his son. Now I must have him in me. And it is such a revelation. It is so amazing. And saying, yeah, but that's how it's for everybody. But that's what this piece, this Romans 10 brings it back to, that mystery that they talk about, that we talk about across the whole New Testament. What is that? Is this mystery? That is such a weird, strange concept, but that you could have the Son of God live in you. You could have his spirit in you. In fact, so much so that you can be like Jared and go wash yourself in a pond and then be dead. And now you don't even live anymore. Now it's Christ who lives in you. And that life that you now live in the flesh, you live by faith. And that's what he's saying. You live it now by faith. What is the faith? It's believing and speaking it. I would just imagine it as a Jew. That must be just so strange and so weird. It's totally revolutionary. But then the ones who believe it, they thought, okay, we'll believe this. Then they started casting out demons. They started raising the dead. They started laying hands on the sick, God healed. And they go, this is, yeah, we don't need the law anymore. He's coming. He's fulfilled it now. Now we don't have to bring him down. We don't have to bring him up. He is here and his spirit is here. And it's a free gift for anybody. We can have we can have God's righteousness by having God's faith. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful concept. Yes. So that's, thanks, Pat, for that. That's cool.
Amen. We are new creations. And as such as new creations, it's because we have Christ in us. We have the Holy Ghost in us. We got the power of the universe in us, glory to God. Anything that we pray for is going to happen. Speaking of that, do y'all mind if I pray for somebody that texted me about a prayer? Okay. I'm going to do it anyway. Angelica texted me, said, can you please lift Isaiah up in prayer and agree that his teeth are healed? He has a hole in one and another chipped and broken off. And he did let me pray for him. So that's major progress. I guess when he heard he would have to pay for his dental visit, he said, yeah, I'll let you pray for me. So anyway, whatever it takes, you know, whatever it takes, glory to God, let's pray for Isaiah. Well, in the name of Jesus, Lord, just to for your glory in Isaiah, Lord, I ask and I pray for your grace and your mercy upon him. And I'll break the power of Satan that has kept him from you right now in the name of Jesus. I'll break your power off of him. And Lord, I thank you for granting repentance to him, bringing him in. And in the name of Jesus, I command those teeth to be healed as a testimony to your grace and your mercy upon him, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. May Isaiah be healed, saved, and delivered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And then I lift up Angelica. I command her immune system to line up with the word of God and be healed. And any infection in her body, you go from her right now in the name that's above every name. That's the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that she is healed as well. Glory to God, glory to God. We thank you, Father, that Angelica and Isaiah both are healed. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We're looking for the great testimony. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's done. All right, Patrick. Everybody believe that? You think God can do that? No, I know he can't, glory to God. He is God. We can trust to fulfill everything that he said in his book. Go ahead, Patrick.
So I was this is probably more of a question or maybe than anything, but as I was, when I was reading those verses before, it also came to me, the personal, how do I say this? That this old covenant perspective of, I mean, self-righteous or the need to do or need to perform or need to be righteous. Is that I think is in a certain awarenesses in our mind or in our soul or whatever. In other words, I don't think we get the full total revelation of these things, of anything of God, actually, but it comes through an unveiling of certain things that come into our life and that stirs up thoughts and thinking about certain things. And it's the whole discipleship process, bit by bit and, word by word or whatever. We eat one piece of God's word and it opens our eyes and brings us into an awareness of other areas of our life. So even though we have entered into this new covenant relationship with God, I think it takes a process, maybe it takes a wilderness to bring us through, to shed the old covenant perspective of how we do things or, how we worship the Lord or obey him or walk in his word, etc. And I kind of got that perspective or that thought one time. I was talking to, we had a ministry come through our church when I was in Oklahoma City. It was a revival, ministry of some sort. Basically, they were their ministry was based upon confession of sin and open confessing of our sin and testimony before the brethren and just kind of an open and honest expression of what God was showing us and confessing it before the brethren. And at that time, it kind of stirred new things within our church whatever. But I was talking with and those were in the days when we were in the church. We were seeking revival very seriously. I think we went through, I think we went 6 months of prayer meetings every night, if I'm not mistaken. That's been so long ago, but we were serious about it at that time. But anyway, I talked to the Lord was showing me some things about the new covenant relationship. I think I was seeking the Holy Spirit and whatnot in those days, and was studying Jeremiah, the verses in Jeremiah of the new heart. Maybe it's in Ezekiel as well, but God giving us a new heart, new spirit, and whatever. And so, and I was seeking the Lord through that time, and I brought those verses up and to this revival teacher, and And I remember his comment. He said, oh, no, it doesn't apply to us. That's for the Jews, you know, before tribulation or something like that. And I realized at the time he didn't understand. There was something he didn't understand about God's spirit, God's covenant here. But anyway, I think the Lord takes us out of the old covenant in steps, or at least an old covenant relationship, because I could see this guy was, you know, in the new covenant time of Christianity, so to speak, but he was still living in the parameters of the old covenant relationship with him. But here was the question I kind of had, and that was, now when there was various different people in the Old Testament, and I'm thinking of one right now in the transition period, and that's Simeon, who was praying, had a relationship with God, obviously, was praying that he would not depart until he saw the Lord's Christ. And so he was functioning in a different relationship of some sort. It was the old covenant relationship, but he was certainly functioning in a new covenant, listening to God's spirit and looking for the Lord. There were, you know, multiple others, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, David, King David. So what was it about those people that, even though they were in the context of an old covenant law relationship, how were they able to get through to, you know, how were they able to dwell in faith in almost in a new covenant relationship without being in the new covenant? Does that make sense? How did they make it? So that was a question. Maybe I shouldn't be putting questions in here. Sorry.
Go ahead, Andrew. He's got the answer.
I'm sure everyone's familiar with the book of Acts, where it says that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The people who called them Christians were the Jews, because like you said about Simeon, he knew that he was going to see the baby Jesus before he died and see the salvation of Israel. And he did see the salvation of Israel there. He saw the baby Jesus, and then he said, now I can go and die as the Lord promised me that I would see the salvation. So he was operating in that a little anointed one. And they were the little anointed ones. We're the big anointed ones. And that's why the Jews of that time saw that these Christians were operating in these manifestations and understandings that God gave them into their heads. And that's why the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So I believe I could be wrong. I believe that was the name the Jewish people gave to the Christians, because they were noticing things. Don't forget, it's a rendition time, and it's now they're seeing in the Christians something that they always have. And some of the people who were Jews probably still had some stuff, because the Lord, up until the time the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, he was still trying to reach those people. Because it was still a fresh thing that happened there with his son. And I think that's a partial answer anyway, Todd. I don't know if anyone has anything else.
Go ahead, Vanita. I just was sitting there musing there, Rihanna.
I was just going to say it's not any different than our day. Of course, we all know it's like the called out ones now. We've been called out. Why? How do we know? And it's just by grace that they were given that knowledge, that understanding, just like we are. You know, we've got all these apostate churches. They're just, it's the same thing all over again, you know. It's just, the Lord has his timing to call different people out and different ways of doing it. And just all repeating again. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. David was telling me that Dutch Sense was saying that next week there's going to be a lot. He had said that, Dutch Sense had said that there were going to be a lot of earthquakes around a 7 point on the Richter scale. Anybody else heard that? You think that would get some people's attention? Yeah. I think it would. I think it would get a lot of people's attention. And that's nothing for us to worry about, is it? We got Psalm 91. Y'all come to visit the boat. All right. Anybody else want to expound on these verses? Yeah. Yeah, Rhea or Claire.
When I read that, Michael, I just, it made me think of what it says in Revelation, that they're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I just keep on thinking, the more we confess, it's not just to confess that he is our Lord and Savior. Like, I know when I start talking about all the things that the Lord has done in my life, it edifies me to want to see even more. Yeah. And the Lord told me the other day, I said to him, I'm sorry I haven't written down every single thing that you've done for me. Like, I'm sorry I haven't been more diligent in that. And he just said quietly, he said, you'll never know how much I've done for you. I was like, okay, well, that takes the pressure off, you know. But I mean, how grateful should we be? Because we think we know, but we have no idea. So we might as well sing his praises all day.
Amen. We're fixing to find out, though. We are fixing to find out. The thing about this faith that we walk, this faith walk that God's got us on, it's an enduring faith. You have to keep on and keep on and keep on until you see whatever it is that you're praying for happen. And know that it's going to happen. Know it's going to happen. Yeah, Vanita.
I just want to share, today was just an overwhelming day for me. It just really brought me down, and I was really upset. And I was telling the Lord, I'm like, Lord, I'm not grumbling. I'm not grumbling. I really am not grumbling. I just, I'm just being weak right now, and I know you can use me that way. And so thank you for putting me where I'm at and making me weak today. And Lord, just use it. And just praise the Lord for all that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I lift up Vanita to you. Lord, put your arms around her. Put her up in your lap. And just give her a great big hallelujah hug. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that when you do that, it's going to wash away all from her in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ooh, my, 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 my. Ooh, feel that. Goodness gracious. Yeah. Glory to God. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. You're an awesome, awesome, so awesome God. I praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Look at that. Lord loved her so much, she turned around in a circle. She's sideways now. Oh, there she is. Oh, my God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Petra, good to see you, girl. I get to hear you.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can. Oh, how are lovely. You?
I'm good. I have beautiful brothers and sisters that prayed for me, so I'm here with you this morning. And it's just always, I just cannot thank the Lord enough. It's such a blessing. Everybody that speaks, every word that comes out, every little bit of truth is so edifying, building up, strengthening. It's just, I just praise the Lord and I thank Him. Thank you, everybody, for being the, what do you say, the obeying children of God that you are. Like, if I have to tell people about my group and my people around me and the people that I love so much, I don't have words to describe the UBM Fellowship. So, yeah, thank you. I'm good. And it's lovely to be with you. Thank you, Julie, for getting me up this morning.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Give Dirk and Paula a big hug from all those.
I'll do. I'm seeing them tonight again. We've got a prayer meeting in the town, a very interesting Christian that goes from town to town, and the Lord shows him what to pray for that town, is visiting Prince Albert. And he felt that the Lord said that there's high places in our little town that needs to be brought down. So we've got a meeting in the school hall tonight where we're going to fellowship or praise and worship and ask the Lord about this and pray for the town and everything. So you can pray for us for that as well. That would be lovely.
Okay. Well, Father, we thank you that you've already placed it in their heart. They have dominion. All of those Christians have dominion. And whatever it is, it calls itself a high place, you're coming down. You've already down in Jesus' name. We declare and decree it right now. You come down off that city in Jesus' name. Christ is the leader there in Jesus' name. Because when Petra, Dirk, and Paula, and all of their brothers and sisters there are in town, Christ is in charge. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of these lovely people over there. I got to say that like y'all say it. Lovely people. Over there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, and amen.
Okay, well, it's done. Y'all, we just believe with y'all. Whatever y'all pray, that's done. Glory to God. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
Can I just add something about what Andrew said about Christians? That's very interesting. I was thinking about it now. It says, they just see the people following Jesus. That's why we're calling them Christians. But we as don't call them Christians, we call them believers, because they just don't follow him. They live as he lived. And they didn't see that part. They didn't see the part that he they walk and they live as he lived. That's why we call them believers and not just Christians. Just something interesting.
Amen, Joe. I heard and understood every word you're saying, brother. You're talking more like an Arkansas boy. I'm telling you the truth.
No.
Amen, brother. Glory to God.
Michael is fixing you, Joe.
Oh, boy. It's kind of strange when a Yankee says things like that. It just is out of place. I don't know. But praise God. Praise God. We're all brothers and sisters, aren't we? I don't talk funny at all.
Are you calling me a Yankee?
I wouldn't do that, Pat.
I love my South.
I just can't
talk that way.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job right now. Yeah, you're doing a pretty good job, brother. All right. It's fun to have those idiosyncrasies that people in the South have and the North have and all that kind of stuff. To understand them is another thing. I can't understand why anybody would live up north. Go ahead, Pat.
You know, that was something that I learned when I was in the oil business. I was traveling around the country. It was right after I got out of college. And I was traveling around the country, and I didn't have a home. I lived out of motels for 2 years, which is kind of exciting when you're a kid, but it gets old real quick. But the interesting thing is, when I'm from the West Coast, from Oregon originally. And when I always said in my mind, I'll never live east of the Mississippi. Obviously, I don't know how many, everybody knows Mississippi in the middle of the country, and I didn't want to go east. And boom, here I am, about as far east as I can get, But anyway, the thing is when I was in that business, we traveled all, as a matter of fact, I started traveling, in the oil exploration, business here. And we started in Pennsylvania, where I live now. And we went, and so we would go into a town and we would be there on a job, and we would work probably for a month or 2 months, and then we'd move to another location, maybe 100 miles away or whatever it would be. And I went all the way from Pennsylvania all the way down the East Coast to Florida and Alabama and West Virginia for a while, and then we moved across Alabama and Mississippi and across the southern part of the Gulf and over into New Mexico and up into Utah. And the interesting thing about it is the first place I went was in West Texas. After I got out of school, went to West Texas, and that was the only place in the United States that you could be driving down the road and the people would wave at you if the car was coming up, in the other lane coming toward you. They would always wave at you when you go by. I thought, man, it's really strange. But the thing I really noticed is that when you get into a community or a place there for a month or 2 months or 3 months, you start to look past some of the idiosyncrasies or the way that people talk and this sort of thing. The first time I ever heard the word fixin' was in West Texas, and you know, there's just a different way of thinking and everything. I remember, and so you start to accept the culture in these various different parts of the country, and it becomes really enjoyable in a way. It's interesting how different parts of the country, the people in Georgia are just so down to earth and hospitable, I guess you might say, and all that. But you don't get a chance to see that if you're just blowing through in an airport and, you know, or whatever. But when you get a chance to, I'm assuming that if I moved up and stayed up with Andrew in Canada for a while, that you get a kind of a flavor of what, you know, how that environment and culture is up there. But it was a pretty exciting time just getting in. And now we're sitting here on Zoom and you have people from all parts of the world. That's just, it's amazing. And you even get to hear a different language over there. Thank you, Joe. Anyway, I'll shut up.
I remember when I came back from the Navy, 4 years in the Navy, being around people from up north and down, you know, all around me too. The people around me said, "Man, you talking like a Yankee." I said, "Yeah, I guess so. I've been around them for 4 years now. You know, you take on, you start saying, you start speaking like people around you, I guess. You know, if I go over to South Africa, I'm always talking just like Joe. Y'all can see that, can't you?" Oh, my. Yeah. Well, I may go over there. I'd love to. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share? I'm just glad. Andrew, you need to think about moving south or make, you know, up in Canada. Goodness gracious, you still got snow on the ground up there?
Yeah. No, we don't have snow. We don't have any leaves on the trees yet, though. They're just like little tiny things. So, but you know, it reminded me of the story when I went, when I was 12 years old and I went to Poland with my mom. I was 12, so that was a half price ticket, you know. And for whatever reason, parents want to be alone, especially when they have six kids. And I was the youngest, so. They sent me off to camp with my set. They sent me to the commies. I almost got in trouble too for going to church. Anyway, so you get to learn the language a lot better when you're just around all these kids. You know, that it was really neat because the first day they almost wanted to beat me up. But they were all very nice when they were warned that I was coming. So, The Canadian check is coming, so we have to be nice to them. So they were really nice to me. Yeah, it's kind of weird when you're with a different society for even like 2 weeks. And kids pick up language a lot better. I don't even think I speak that well now that I've sent that language. Anyway, yeah, I think I told you guys once when it was Sunday and I said, well, I have to go to church because And your mom's coming, so she, you know, I got my nice best shirt I had on, and we went to the church, and who I thought was the ushers, they weren't ushers. They had their gray suits on, and they were the people who take the names who are going to church, because apparently only the white-haired old fogey people could go to church who were grandpas. There was no young people in there, and church was basically... He sat on the front stage, and that was it. And I thought we were going to stay there for an hour, and these two guys came up, and then I realized who they were, and I said, uh-oh, I just got my cousin in trouble and his mother. And so we got out of there really quick. And, Yeah, so that was a different type of people. You know, as Richard Warmbrand said, and it took him 12 years, and he got across to his person who was in jail, who was, when they set him free 12 years later, the commander of the jail cell was professing Christ. It took him 12 years. So he says, you gotta love the communists. So, and that's the only way it could be done anyway. So, I don't know if anyone's seen any Richard Warmbrand stuff, but.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Read his book.
12 years, you know, like that's a long time. He was in prison, and his wife too, and it was no party, you know. And, well, that's what happened.
Yeah. I had a real good friend of mine that was straight from Poland that had come over here to actually save his life and his family's life because of the communist over there at the time. He was working with Lech Walesa, or they were working in the same kind of stuff, and he got thrown in prison. And he finally got out, and the Catholic Church told him, he said, you got to get out of the country because they're looking to kill you. And so the Catholic Church paid for his way to come over here, and he had a sponsor. Anyway, he ended up in Arkansas. Now, this guy couldn't speak English at all, hardly. Couldn't speak anything. Now, here I had to teach him English. So when he left, when he finally left the company, he was speaking like me, and nobody could understand him where he went, you know. So he was a good guy, though. He taught me a lot. Very smart man. Very smart man. All right, anyone else? Y'all still believing? I am. Thank you, Jesus. I'm believing. I am so believing. Okay, well, it's Tim and Katie. Hi, y'all.
We're doing good.
Awesome. Okay, Patrick. Bless you, girl. Hope to see you soon. All right, has anybody got a subject for, what is tonight? Is this Tuesday or Thursday? This is Tuesday, isn't it? Thursday. This is Thursday. Okay, has anybody got a subject for next Tuesday? Or do you just want to get back into Sovereign God? Nobody comes up with a subject. Yeah, go ahead, Benita.
I sent you an email, but I don't know if you got it or not.
I got it. I just forgot about it. Tell me about it. Let's go ahead and tell us about it. We'll go ahead and do it.
Oh, okay. I was wanting to talk about the death penalty. And I know, like, you know, before I came to UBM, I had read in scripture and stuff, and I thought that was okay. But then I read, after I came to UBM, I felt differently about it. You know, love your neighbor and all those verses that tell us to do good to those that do harm to us, and, you know, all those verses. But is, you know, even with like all these, the Gitmo thing and all these people that are being put to death because treason and all these things. I mean, we don't get involved in those things, but just whether, you know, that's right or wrong, or I don't know, that's kind of where I was wanting clarification on that.
Yeah. David has talked about that in a few of his studies. And the thing that he always talks about is we let the world handle the world. And we as Christians, we just pray for them. And that's basically just, we can talk about it some more, but that's basically what his philosophy is. And I believe it because it's because he's going to be biblically correct in that. The death penalty, as you all know, is a deterrent. Yeah, Pat.
So, Michael, I think that probably ties in with kind of what is happening right now. Well, I think it ties into God's authority and so I think it would be good to go through it.
Okay. But you know what? That's good, Pat. You know how we could handle that? We could handle that through the Old Testament. What happened back there, you know, when the Lord brought things to bring people to justice.
Yeah. I just thought of something myself here, like, yeah, the capital punishment. But what about things like people who steal things and they get like 13 years in jail or something or whatever the legality of this is, you know, like that they think there might be actually some side things that we can think of here, and also like prison ministry and stuff, you know, like this person's paying for a crime he did. And, you know, that's kind of interesting. There's a lot of things there too, you know.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think if there's anything else, you know.
What do you think, Pat? Well, you muted yourself.
I did.
Yeah, now you're unmuted.
I said, count me in.
Okay, all right.
The Lord has had me in Romans 13 for probably 2 months. And it's just opening up some things relative to authority. I know I can't, every time I kind of bring it up, it seems like it's, you know, it's always I don't know if it's misunderstood or not, but the application of, it's just showing, the Lord's just showing me how, the difference between authority and the authorities, and it kind of took me through a process of showing me that it is an environment, a spiritual environment, which is part of his creation, kind of on the sense that you can't get anywhere that there isn't authority, and just because it's part of the world. But it's such a foundational thing. It's kind of like the law of gravity, that if once we understand that it is a law, not like the law of Moses or rules or thing like that, but it's like the law of gravity. And as we apply ourselves to understand how God uses it, then we can avail ourselves of the advantages of it. And so anyway, I think it connects into so many parts of our life, that even what Vanita was saying about capital punishment or whatever, and if it is right to administer it, or when is it right to administer, or all that sort of thing, I think it's applicable. It's good to think these things through and whatnot. So anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. We can do that. You know, had anybody ever heard about Jeffrey Dahmer coming to Christ before he died? You know, that's something that you often wonder. I don't know. I don't know if he did or not, but I had read that he had. There was a Christian pastor, I believe, that had talked with him for weeks or something like that about Christ. So I don't know. That's what always goes through my... I knew 1, 2, 3 guys that was on death row in Arkansas, Cummings Prison, maximum security, that got out of prison coming to Christ. And that didn't, they didn't, wasn't an overnight thing. It took years and years and years of them bearing the fruit of Jesus before they allowed them to go out. And there was a fourth one that was still in there, that he was the chaplain's assistant, and he was off of death row, but he was still in prison. But they started them a little Bible study and came to Christ and just changed up many people's lives while they were in there. But yeah, Vanita, God can do anything, can't he?
Amen. I think the thing that before I came to UVM and I was studying that out, I was looking at the Old Testament. And I mean, that was one of the laws, you know, if you murder somebody, then you are murdered. Life for a life. But obviously the New Testament, you know, it's the New Testament. It's a different covenant, yeah. And we're to love, and the verse, cursed is the man that depends on the arm of the flesh. I did say that right. Yeah. Cursed is the man, anyways, you know what I mean. But yeah. I mean, that's, again, it's putting it into the arms of men and not in God's hands and letting him handle it. Vengeance is his, not ours. So those just came to me, I don't know.
Amen. That's right.
So Michael, even what David is talking and teaching about now in reference to where God is taking us in this nation, he's bringing a pressured environment into existence, which is going to greatly facilitate people coming to the end of their rope, so to speak,
yeah,
and cry and motivating them to seek God. And in one sense, you just gave an example of 4 people on death row who were simply waiting to be put to death.
Yeah.
Yet the pressure of that environment was what was necessary in their life to bring them to Christ.
Yeah.
So I think you have to go back and say, God is the ultimate one that raises all this stuff up. Mankind can't raise it up, but if God raises it up, we ought to be cooperating or coordinating with that process. You know, for the better part of wisdom is that we get on the same boat with him, you know, in what he's doing, you know. So.
Amen. Yeah. I enjoyed the prison ministry that we had. It was really did. Okay, has anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight? Hopefully Saturday, well, not hopefully. Anyway. Lord, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for answering their prayers. I thank you, Lord, for replacing their hearts with your heart, that heart of love that just loves in spite of whatever else is going on around them. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for giving everybody a good night's sleep or a good day's work, whatever. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for warm weather coming in here in Tennessee. In Jesus' name. Going to have a fine day Saturday with pot blessing out at the museum. Glory to God. All right, good night, y'all.